Peace be upon you. God willing, today we're going to talk about a concept that can be found in chapter 3, verse 83. So I'm going to start by reading the verse. It reads, "Are they seeking other than God's religion when everything in the heavens and the earth has submitted to him willingly and unwillingly, and to him they will be returned?" So it's this expression, submitted to God willingly and unwillingly. What I take away from this is that we don't have a choice in the concept of submitting to God. Regardless if we choose to do it willingly and unwillingly, ultimately we're submitting to God. The difference is if we choose to do it willingly, God makes it easy for us, God blesses us, God increases our appreciativeness and all the attributes of the righteous. And similarly, if we do it unwillingly, we go through a lot of disasters and hardships, and ultimately it ends to our own destruction. Now, God controls every single soul. In chapter 13, verse 33 and verse 35 reads, God controls every single soul. So, God controls everyone. And that's every angel, every ant, every object. It says not even a leaf falls without his knowledge. God controls everything. And ultimately, we have that choice as human beings to either submit willingly or to submit unwillingly. But ultimately, God controls everything. And there's a perfect example of this in the Quran in regards to Satan. So if we read chapter 7, verse 11 through 18, we can see how Satan tries to basically defy God and refuses to quote-unquote submit, but ultimately he's just submitting, but unwillingly. So it reads 7, verse 11, "We created you, then we shaped you, then we said to the angels, fall prostrate before Adam. They fell prostrate except Iblis, Satan. He was not with the prostrators." Chapter 7, verse 12, the header says, "The test begins. He said, what prevented you from prostrating when I ordered you? He said, I'm better than he. You created me from fire and created him from mud. He said, therefore you must go down, for you're not to be arrogant here. Get out, you're debased. He said, grant me a respite until the day of resurrection. He said, you are granted a respite. He said, since you have willed that I go astray, I will skulk for them on your straight path. I will come to them from before them and from behind them, and from their right and from their left, and you'll find that most of them are unappreciative. He said, get out therefrom, despised and defeated. Those among them who follow you, I will fill hell with you all." So we see here clearly that Satan is telling God, I don't want to follow your orders. I don't want to basically serve the human being. And what's ironic is what Satan actually ends up doing is serving the human being. That even though he made this adamant stance and he's going to suffer all this retribution because of it, he's ultimately doing what he was intended to do in the first place. And you might ask, how is that? So in chapter 13, verse 17, it reads, "The truth versus falsehood." It reads, "He sent down water from the sky, causing valleys to overflow. Then the rapids produce abundant foam. Similarly, when they use fire to refine metals for their jewelry or equipment, foam is produced. God thus cites the analogies for the truth and falsehood. As for the foam, it goes to waste, while that which benefits the people stays close to the ground. God thus cites the analogies." So here we see an analogy of foam. And what is foam? Foam is actually, you know, kind of the byproduct, the waste of refining. And, you know, if you get into a hot tub and you see the foam, that's actually probably the dead skin from people who've been in there. But, you know, people who work with metal, they actually use fire to refine metals, to take out the impurities and, you know, get it into its purest form. Now, what did Satan tell God in his response to why he didn't want to prostrate, why he didn't want to serve the human being? He said, "You created me from fire and created him from mud." So we know that the human being, it's basically, it says mud here. In another verse, it says clay. What happens when you put fire and clay together? The fire actually doesn't burn the clay. It actually purifies it. It takes the impurities out of the clay. And it's really awesome when you think about this, that, you know, God created Satan from fire, created the human being from clay. And when these two come in contact with one another, a refinement process happens. And that's exactly what Satan is doing here in this world. He's allowing us to refine ourselves by basically lurking after us, by coming after us, by testing us, by trying to, you know, twist us, get us angry. he's actually serving in that refining process. And he says it himself. He says, he said, therefore, you must go down. He says, grant me, since you have willed I go straight, I will skulk for them on your straight path. I will come to them from before them and from behind them and from their right and from their left. And you'll find that most of them are unappreciative. And it's ironic that he's saying, basically, I don't want to submit. I don't want to serve the human being. But okay, I'm going to serve the human being and I'm going to refine them and basically show you the ones that are unappreciative versus the ones that are appreciative. And in chapter 22, verse 53, we read, he thus sets up the devil's scheme as a test for those who harbor doubts in their hearts, and those whose hearts are hardened. The wicked must remain with opposition. So that's what the devil's scheme is for, right? The devil's scheme is to show our true convictions, to show what we're really made out of. I heard an analogy once that, you know, if you want to see what someone is made out of, you have to put stress on them. Similarly, like if you wanted to see what an orange is made out of, you squeeze it, and what do you get? Orange juice. But what happens with a human being when we put stress on us? You know, do we get angry? Do we get frustrated, despondent, hopeless? Or do we become perseverant? Do we become patient? Do we trust in God? Do we look for basically the silver lining, trying to learn what it is that God wants to teach us through this event? And that ultimately shows what our true convictions are. And this is awesome because in chapter 13, verse 42, it reads, others before them have schemed, but to God belongs the ultimate scheming. He knows what everyone is doing. The disbelievers will find out who the ultimate winners are. That ultimately, look, Satan's going to scheme, but to God belongs the ultimate scheming. God knows the future and the past. He's planned everything perfectly for us. And I'm going to read that verse in chapter 10, verse 61, where it reads, 1060. Nope, so 61, knowing God. You do not get into any situation, nor do you recite any Quran, nor do you do anything without us being witnesses thereof as you do it. Not even an atom's weight is out of your Lord's control. Be it in the heavens or the earth, nor is there anything smaller than an atom or larger that is not recorded in a profound record. So I'm going to read one more verse from chapter 47. In it's verse 31, it reads, we will certainly put you to the test in order to distinguish those among you who strive and steadfastly persevere. We must expose your true qualities. So God willing, we're going to stop there. Hopefully it was informative and, you know, God guides us to the right understanding and allows us to be appreciative and come to the conviction that he is in full control, that we never have anything to worry about, that God can make anything possible, and God always has our best intentions in mind. So until next time, peace and God bless. And if you got any comments or questions, feel free to email us at QuranTalk@gmail.com.